Welcome to the Business of Biotech, brought to you by Bioprocess Online and graciously sponsored by Cytiva, formerly GE Healthcare Life Sciences. On our last episode, Roivant's Dr. Vivek Ramaswamy offered us a pile of great advice on building an all-star biotech team and the implications of that team on your therapy and your company valuation. On episodes prior, we talked about business planning, building the pitch, and financing. So now you've got your funding. You've got your team. You've got a good plan and good science behind it. Are you ready to leave the incubator? That's the focus of today's discussion. And we're having that discussion with an entrepreneur who's taken multiple biopharma startups from inception to clinical success and who knows a thing or two about leading a startup biotech out of the nest. Let's give it a listen. Joining us from Southern India during what is hopefully the peak, the beginning of the end of the pandemic, the global pandemic, and joining us from her home office in Southern India because she's not allowed to be here in her Boston office, headquarters of her company, is Kavita Ayers Rodriguez. Kavita, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's definitely very strange circumstances that we're under, and I really hope we ride this through.
Yeah, as do I. How long, just real quick before we start talking about our scheduled programming today on knowing when it's time to leave the incubator. Before we get into that, how long has it been since you left the States, and just how soon do you think you'll be able to come back to the mothership in Boston?
So I was there last in the January of earlier this year, just after JP Morgan. And then, you know, we have an office at CIC right there at Kendall. And so I left the country, I want to say, the 21st of January. And apparently that was brilliant timing because post that, hell just broke loose, right? And yeah, I'm thinking things are going to get better and I'll be back there in October. We were scheduled to come in during AACR and ASCO, and now that that's canceled, I'm hoping all this will be behind us and I'll be back there in October again. Yeah. But I really wish my colleagues at CIC in Cambridge well, because there have been a couple of positive cases and that's really sad.
Yes, it is. And I should mention also that when Kavita and I got on the phone just now, she informed me that moments ago, it's late in her country. She said that moments ago, the prime minister issued a 21-day stay-at-home order. So we wish you well through that, Kavita. You and your family, hopefully you can all kind of gel and stay sane during that time. I want to give you an opportunity real quick. When I look at you and your experience and your the things that you've done as a leader in the biologic space and the biopharma space, I sort of consider you a founder's founder. You're the quintessential biologist who has had much experience with a few different companies now launching biopharmas. But I want to give you an opportunity just to give us an update on, maybe give us a little bit of background and an update on the company that you're with, that you founded right now, Zumotor.
Sure. Thanks, Matt. So this is for me the second time all over again. I did my first startup between 2007 and 12 in the biosimilar space. And that was also, based out of Bangalore in Southern India, and successfully sold the company to a listed pharma company in Bangalore and moved on to do Zumotor, which is the current startup, and it's in a differentiated NK cell biology space. And it's been a very interesting journey so far, very competitive. And the fact that we have, we twin, right? We are headquartered in Boston and we have our labs here in Bangalore. So it's been an interesting journey by means of handling, again, cross-cultural teams, looking at fundraising in the US, but at the same time, looking at lab work in India. A little bit about Zumotor. Zumotor is in the NK cell immuno-oncology space. We have a lead asset that's getting into phase one trials. And the construct of the company is that we have 36 folks who are based out of two geographies, headquartered in Boston, we have business development and all of the structures of, kind of outreach that happens out of the US. And in Bangalore, in the labs, we have wet labs of around, 16,000 square feet of lab space, where we have teams that work completely on process development, early R&D, et cetera. So this is the construct of the company, and we have, global investors who've kind of ensured progress.
So you've got a couple of different points of experience in bringing a company out of, what we call incubation and into the real world. And that's the topic of our conversation today. When you look back at those experiences, let's kind of drill down on the basics. What are the indicators, the sort of the early indicators that, you know what, we're getting to a point where it's time to kind of move out of this space, and whose decision is it to make that move?
It's interesting that you bring that up because, in the first startup, we incubated in a completely academic setup called the Indian Institute of Science, where we generated, kind of lead data, which we then used to kind of do our seed round of funding, et cetera. When we did Zumtobel, which is again a lot later, I think the ecosystem in India and especially in Bangalore had developed to an extent where you could compare it, I want to say, to the YCs of what you would have there, with Y Combinators out there in the US. And let's say Lab Central, which I'm familiar with in the Cambridge area. I want to say that was the kind of ecosystem that we had, and that really catapulted us into what we could build out as initial teams and therefore deliver before we went out for seed funding. So I think that distinction was also important, that between 2007, 2013, and 15, what we could achieve by means of speed, just because we were in the right space at the right time and the incubator was a great fit for us. So that was more from the evolution basis. Coming back to your question, Matt, on the kind of a right time to check in and check out. I think for us, the good part of it was that through the auspices of the Government of India funding strategies, we had a complete kind of triad of ecosystems, which I will take you into details a little later into this conversation, where we were able to not only get funding as we stepped into the incubator, but we could also access multidisciplinary actions within the incubator, which also was ultimately an accelerator before we stepped out of it, right? So that really helped us. And I want to say it was defined that we would be there for 18 months or so. That was the arrangement. And that suited us very well. And if we wanted to stay beyond 18 months, then you get into a different engagement because then you're a grown-up startup, right? So you would have to kind of therefore contribute also into the ecosystem in ways which you did not do when you came in. So I think that relationship is great.
So that 18-month relationship, that engagement, who sets that definition? Like who says this is going to be an 18-month engagement, and at that point we'll reassess.
Right. So when we started off, especially with the incubator called CCAMP, which is called the Center for Cellular and Molecular Platforms, located here in Bangalore, it's located within a hub which has other, kind of academic ecosystems, very similar to the way, the Harvard, ecosystem works or the MIT ecosystem works. It's reasonably similar. The good part about the CCAMP ecosystem was that we were a part of an early seed fund that came into it. It's more a grant, which is a non-dilutive part of it. So as we got the non-dilutive grant, we were able to use a portion of that to house us into the incubator. And a part of the kind of write-up for having us an incubator was that you stay 18 months. You therefore also utilize monies, the space, mentorship, et cetera, within the 18 months and show certain movements or progress. And once that is shown and assessed within that space, you're then able to kind of, you're eligible to scale. And that again comes into another grant process. So you could always kind of roll one grant into the other. And that brings us back to an essential question you asked. Is that the right time to kind of check out and be on your own? Which is a decision we made. And in 18 months, we were out and we had our own space.
Okay. Well, those checkpoints, you said, you know, you measure your progress and you determine when you're eligible to scale. Are they pretty standard or are they very specific to the startup?
I want to say they're specific to startups, but in the cohort that we were in, I think C-Camp as a space was also learning with us. And that was great because they brought in experts. We were able to introduce to them, to different sets of people globally. So there was a give and take, which is amazing. But coming to your question, there were certain defined endpoints by means of progress that we had stated in the grant, which we had to meet. And once you met that, it would mean that you had progressed that far, right? And therefore, that milestone being achieved, which is great for you from an assessment of why you're in the incubator. And it's also great by means of you saying that it's time to go out and seek funding. And so we used that opportunity, I want to say, within 8 months of being in that ecosystem to raise our first round of funds, actually.
Okay. So personal question. Mm-hmm. How did it feel when it was, you know, you hit your 18 month, your benchmarks were there, your milestones were there, you were already in the process of funding. How did you personally feel about the next step?
I felt like a cranny, you know, very cranky, toothing, kind of 2-year-old, right? Because you now have to get out from, you know, the warm and cozy space of where everything was getting taken care of. And we had to go into, you know, a larger space, which was getting built out. And you know how it is when things get built out, you know, there's just just this months of uncertainty of when the project's going to get over. You are housed literally in a camp where you can only, you know, it's like a tent, right? And you pitch the tent, you just have, let's say, Wi-Fi and three tables in connectivity, and the rest of it is dust and rubble, and they're just getting your lab, you know, done. So we were in a fancy incubator, and then we were like literally thrown into the boondocks trying to do it. So I think it's a very character building phase. But having said that, we had an amazing set of investors back us. And since it was the second time around, they knew that we could, you know, we had the right mindset and the pace to get deliver projects, which means we had it in our kind of goals and mindset to ensure certain things were kind of put down. Let's say the lab completion was done, equipments were in, etc. So the time that they gave us between funding and when we finished it was perfect. And we had access to the incubator, which was a good thing because that kind of, you know, that point where you let go and then you say you're on your own, it's tough, right? Because you're used to a whole bunch of things at an incubator that you suddenly will not have.
Yeah. So prior to moving into the encampment, right, while the space was being built out, what was it that you were looking for in terms of your physical space as you emerged from the incubator? And your real estate selection, what kind of went into that thought process?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's something that we learned from the previous one, that location was everything and you should afford your location, right? So those were two important pieces. And the way Bangalore is constructed, Bangalore is actually like the IT capital, which means real estate is extremely expensive. So we had to ensure we earmarked spaces which were more like the vendor ecosystem by means of the biopharma ecosystem, with where you're located, to who could provide what, to your employees staying close by, and the rest of the infrastructure built around it was good. And at the same time, we were pretty sure we could not, you know, kind of fancily walk into, let's say, like an Alexandria or any of the tech parks, so to speak, right? So we had to choose between two locations. One was the southern end of Bangalore, and the other was more towards the northern side of the city, which is where the airport was located. And our choice was more to the northern part of the city because we believe, you know, if we had customers, partners, investors come in, you'd rather have a shorter distance between the airport and your labs than like a 3-hour ride, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it was cost. it was, you know, kind of vendors, your biopharma partners by means of who you would need being located close by, and of course, infrastructure which supported the entire space. So we finally narrowed it down on the space, which was the ground floor of a larger, you know, four stacked building. And another important kind of criteria we needed to meet was what is called the Pollution Control Board, which is more a statutory requirement that the state has as to where you're located, what your, you know, kind of key core activities are, and what are the effluents that you would have. And therefore, you can only be located in certain areas.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I wanna dig in a little bit on cost. When you were exploring your options, which great job kind of walking us through that exploration process, and it came down to cost. Who all is involved in or influencing the cost decision? I mean, obviously you're steering the ship, but who else is kind of involved in that thought process?
So I want to say the way we're constructed out by means of the team within Zumutor itself, we're a core team of four people. And, you know, we not only have we been involved in kind of getting the thought processes of how the company is constructed out to be, but we've also got very earmarked roles as to, you know, decision-making processes, which are very cohesive, but at the same time, functional processes that are, you know, kind of verticalized. So among the four of us, we came together and we were very clear about location and cost being an important angle. And this is something that we'd already pitched to the VC. So we had, I want to say, 4 months of time between the incubation space and when we moved into our, you know, kind of the final lab space that we built out. And during those 4 months, I think it was not only the cost of just getting kind of locking down on the space, but the complete project management, so to speak, in getting labs up and running. So I think the entire core team was involved, I want to say in consultation with the investors, right? And we did hire a project management, you know, kind of architectural complete team to get this done. Yep. So, and there was a lot of lean on our previous experience and where we came from. And so that got together very quickly.
The business of biotech is committed to helping the leaders of new and emerging biopharma companies navigate the financial, organizational, human resources, and regulatory waters you'll encounter on your way from discovery to the clinic and beyond. Cytiva, formerly GE Healthcare Life Sciences and the gracious supporter of this project, is also committed to that cause. Check out Cytiva's resources for emerging biotech at cytivalifesciences.com. /emerging biotech. That's CYTIVA lifesciences.com /emerging biotech. Obviously, this was a different time ago, and I don't want to have this conversation in the vacuum of history. I want to address what we addressed from the outset of the conversation.
Right.
We're in a very different time right now. You know, at one time, you know, on one hand, it's a very exciting time for to be in the biotherapy space. And on the other hand, it's a very challenging time to be in this space and be a new emerging startup because the economy is not doing well at the hands of the current pandemic. If it is a difficult question to ask and more difficult for you to answer, if you found yourself, you know, I mean, hey, 2 months ago, we didn't really see this coming, right? So if you found yourself 2 months ago at the 18-month stage about to, you know, leave incubation and venture out into the real world, take on this capital intensive project, you had the funding, the next round maybe doesn't look so sure. Mm-hmm. What would you do differently? What advice would you give folks who might be at that stage right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting journey that you're kind of telling me to go through. And I keep thinking if this is something that I would think of if I do my next startup. So This is a good time to bounce this off you. The things that we collectively feel we could have done differently, and I think we're walking our talk even with that piece of it, is that We definitely want to have better engagement with the incubation setup, because as much as we were a startup that was in an incubator slash accelerator, I want to say, they themselves are having multiple ongoing programs that would best suit even a growing company. So even if a startup like Zumutor had to step out 18 months later into their own labs, which is scaled, you know, you have 36 people, you have multiple investors on board, and you're continuing to raise money, etc. I think the lean on spaces like these, especially because you know, of its strong presence, now they have, of course, you know, funding opportunities within an incubator accelerator. They have multiple board opportunities by means of people they can link you to, and you can have them on your, you know, on your side, so to speak. I think those are things that we did not think of when we left the incubator, but I would want to have those now, even as we scale the company, right? Mm-hmm. So I think those are things that we could do differently. So my advice would be that even as you are spaced within an incubator, you and you're an independent startup, I think one is, of course, to think independently and to think, let's say, 5 years ahead, but also think very prudently, saying, what are the things that I can still leverage from an incubation space that I could take to an, you know, kind of an independent space and kind of keep that a vibe, you know, kind of social ecosystem going. That's very important.
Yeah. excuse me. You talked a bit about location and infrastructure, and I want to talk about that location in terms of talent and team. So, you know, here in the States, there's, I guess, the conventional way of thinking for several years now has been Boston and San Francisco. You've got the infrastructure, but the intellect, you know, the recruiting opportunity. I see it changing. I see the industry spreading a little bit. I see individual bioscience hubs doing a really good job of building up their communities. So it is changing a little bit. But what sort of talent acquisition considerations went into your post, you know, incubator slash accelerator journey?
Yeah, I think what you say is right. And we actually went through this process in the US, right? When we were flipping the company, we were at Delaware Incorp. We were trying to figure out whether we should be kind of headquartered, you know, especially in the space like San Jose or let's say San Diego or spaces like that. We were thinking about being headquartered there. And then we finally decided Boston is the space, especially looking at the future of funding. That was the US kind of decision-making process for us. In India, and especially in Bangalore, with talent, you know, availability, access, people coming back from the US after having finished their PhD postdocs in a couple of years of work, etc. Bangalore, we believed, was the best space to be in, right? I mean, apart from that being my hometown and therefore a comfort right there. Bangalore, even now, apart from Hyderabad, which is the other space where, let's say, Microsoft and Facebook headquarters are, et cetera, for the India space, Bangalore has been traditionally the IT capital, right? So it already had certain kind of conduits available for, let's say, travel, let's say, exposure, VC ecosystems, etc. All it needed was to kind of have biologics mainstream. Remember, it already had healthcare in a different kind of life sciences in a different vertical, right? Whether it was devices, manufacturing, etc. Pure biotech had only biopharma vendors like Millipore, Merck Millipore, etc. Right? Apart from that, it had Biocon, which is the other major biopharma player, which is located right here in Bangalore. And I have been a part of that for 6 years before I did my first startup. So I think from a talent basis in the biologic space, you know, Bangalore was it, right? It had a great, it continues to have a great bed of institutions like the Indian Institute of Science, which is very comparable to Harvard, and it had complete, you know, kind of incubation ecosystems. It had 3 to 4 large biopharma companies housed right here. So talent was on tap. It was definitely accessible. It was about timing. And I think given the differentiated space that Zumutar has kind of positioned itself in, the attraction was great, right? People wanted to, you know, kind of do the whole startup piece, you know, trying to see what it would be like to belong to such spaces. Remember, Bangalore is also the space where, you know, Flipkart was born, which finally got sold out to Walmart, right? So Bangalore is a great startup ecosystem in multiple ways, but biotech was very, very rudimentary then, and now it's catching up. I want to say in Bangalore alone, we have close to 22 odd startups broadly in the life sciences biopharma. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So I think,
yeah.
So that's both pieces of the, both, I want to say both sides of the story, both the US and in India.
Yeah. So in your community now, you mentioned that there are 22 biotech startups active right now. Is there some sort of a quorum for the leaders of those companies to be together, some sort of community organization?
Absolutely, absolutely. So when I was mentioning about CCAM belongs to what is called the Bangalore Innovation Cluster. Mm-hmm. The Bangalore Innovation Cluster brings together a whole bunch of life science companies, whether they be in devices, diagnostics, you know, pure health tech, you know, or pure play oncology like the way we do, or biopharma services. It brings together a whole bunch of people. So there is multiple avenues for interaction. I want to say very similar to what MassBio does in Cambridge, mm-hmm. right? So there is those. There are, of course, venture capitalists which run their own, you know, kind of cohorts of getting people together, whether within their ecosystem of funding or outside of it. So all of that, you know, is there in Bangalore, and it's great to access it.
Good, good. When you were making the transition and building out your first space, you know, post incubation, you know, it's always there's always risk involved, especially when you're spending other people's money, right? So, what did you consider the primary risks? What were you most concerned about from a risk standpoint, and how did you mitigate those risks?
Right. So, I mean, now you're getting to my favorite spot of risk mitigation and what we did early on, right? So one of the first things that we needed to do, even as we got funding from our investors, which was a seed round of 6 million, was that we had to ensure that the labs were fully kind of built to suit and ready to go on time. That was one part, which, thankful to our experience and our vendor partners who supported us, that was spot on. So we were able to kind of deliver that. The second piece of it was to kind of transition the technology out from the incubator to our space and show by means of beta testing models that the platforms, which are basically novel antibody libraries that we built out, those platforms were not only applicable, but we were able to show that they worked in a molecule. And that is really when we announced that collaboration with Catalent, back in 2016-17, where we worked on their GPEx cell line along with our kind of engineering technologies to show improved ADCC activity. So that was our first milestone. And that was, I want to say, also a risk mitigation step, because that is something that the investor wanted to see, saying, if you are as good as you state you are, please deliver the technology and show to us what the technology can do. And that's exactly what we did.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, so you mentioned the investment community a few times. Obviously, money can travel, but does it? Like, in terms of where you're choosing to build your foundation post incubation, is the investment community and its kind of proximity to that space or geography, is that important, or is that not really that important anymore?
I want to say it was very important when we began. But as we have grown out into the stage where we are more global than local right now, because most of our studies are getting done in the US, our phase one trials are going to be in the US, but all our background work and all our IP generation has been in India. I want to say that the investor ecosystem did matter, that they saw us, you know, they kind of saw us in our digs as we began, and it was important for them to see us grow in our space. But now with where we are, with the fact that, you know, we're closer to, let's say, I want to say market by means of phase one trials, I don't think, you know, the VC community being closer by means of locationally closer to us would matter as much. I think it's the flip side. We need investors from the US side now on our board, and which is our efforts right now.
Okay. All right. I don't want you to give up secret sauce, but is there anything strategic you're doing to get, you know, as a means to that end?
Yeah, so we've done a couple of things we hope will, you know, ultimately cohesively add up to one is of course fundraise and the other is of course strategic licensing. We have partnered with Destin Partners, which is a boutique firm in New York, which really looks to kind of shop our asset both early stage and as we go into phase one for, you know, potential licensing opportunities. And we do have a lot of traction in the US for this with multiple biopharma partners. We've also partnered with Mount Sinai in New York to run a whole bunch of patient trials, patient tissue studies, so to speak. And we hope to get to patient data very quickly. But then, of course, given the current situation, studies are going to be delayed, etc. We hope, you know, to kind of get over that piece also. And of course, our products getting manufactured at Catalent, both for the preclinical and clinical piece.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, Kavita. Believe it or not, this has been a very fascinating conversation, but we're running short on time. Before I let you go, and you're probably ready to go, you've got a family to tuck in and get ready for bed. Any concluding thoughts you wanted to share with us on this stage, you know, looking back on this stage last time, and you've hinted that this isn't probably going to be your last time founding. And any concluding thoughts on what you've learned and what you might apply moving forward?
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for this opportunity. I think, I'm an ultra marathoner, so I keep looking for, you know, examples that can go on to endurance. This has really been an endurance test, and I hope to kind of, you know, not hit a wall and see this finish through till the end line. And the learnings have been multiple, and it's been so different from the first startup to the second one. I really hope that with the learnings that I've had, whether it's at the incubator or with VCs or, you know, with we scaling, I believe it's the power of people, right? It's the power of people advising you. It's the power of people mentoring you. It's your team. If you're able to hold this together, we will be able to deliver what we have kind of set out to do in 2021 and 22. And if that sits right, then I'm ready for my third startup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Good. Well, good luck to you on that. And hey, as far as ultra marathoning is concerned, if you have any ultra marathons coming up in the next couple of months, make sure you tell your competition to remain 6 to 10 feet behind you. Behind you. Social isolation.
Totally, totally. Seriously, people are thinking about how they're going to do, you know, full marathons in like a 7-meter balcony. Have you seen all this happening? Yeah.
No,
so
I haven't.
This is going to be like running around like gerbils, right? It's just around your room.
Yeah. Well, Kavita, thank you for joining us again. Stay safe, and I hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's Kavita Ayers-Rodriguez. I'm Matt Pillar, and this is The Business of Biotech. This episode wraps up season one of our Cytiva-sponsored series, but don't worry, we've got some great programming coming this summer, and we'll pick back up with season two of this series in September. Meanwhile, you can access a host of resources for emerging biotech leaders, such as yourself, at both bioprocessonline.com and www.cytivalifesciences.com/emerging biotech. That's cytiva lifesciences.com/emerging biotech. It's a great portal. Go check it out. And thanks for listening.